you.
Yeah, this is really my last message. I had to pretend something in the first service, but you're gonna get the whole thing. Oh gosh. Well, hi everybody. It's good to be here. Glad you remember me and my family. Thank you so much for the gift of, the over-under was 3. That's 1. Thank you for the gift of sabbatical for me and my family. 2. So deeply grateful for that. As you know, life is changing for us pretty significantly now. And so incredibly thankful for you and so incredibly excited for this season that is ahead of us in Willamette Christian Church. It's an amazing church. You would all feel familiar and at home as soon as you got there. And that is exactly how the family of God is supposed to be. Amen. But coming to this moment, man, for days, I stared at a cursor flashing on a blank document, right? Just white space, no words, just this constant flashing, reminding me that time is ticking away, like the sermon clock in the back of the room. By the way, they gave me like 20 minutes for this. Yeah, right. Good. When have I ever given you 20 minutes? You know, it wasn't that I didn't have enough to say or something to say. You also know me well. I can say a lot. But the question was more, what is the right thing to say? You know, the clock is always ticking down, and it usually goes red when I speak because we run out of time. And the kids' volunteers are wishing they volunteered serving coffee instead. But this time is different. What happens when the clock runs out for the final time? When you know that this countdown is going down, and at least in this way, it's the last time that it's going to happen. You think about these words and every second in a much different way than you have before. Now, I know most of you know what it feels like to say goodbye. Maybe it's the cherished last few moments with a loved one as they are about to enter into eternity. Or it's the breakup that you know is right, but you still love that person and you're gonna miss them. Maybe it's the last game of the season and you're walking off the court together and you know you'll never play a game like that again. Seniors in high school, maybe it's your grad party coming up and you're gonna have a ton of fun and you're gonna wake up the next day and realize you'll never be with that same group of people again. It's a goodbye. Maybe you took a new role at a different company and you journeyed through something with that team or with those people and you have to say goodbye. In fact, I know there are many of you here today. You received a box with your name on it and the end of your time has come and you're journeying through what is next and who am I. Let me just tell you that we love you and we see you, and we are for you, and we are praying for you. And more importantly than any of that, Jesus sees you, and he is with you. If there is something I have learned in this season, is that Jesus is just as present in the hello as he is in the goodbye. He is just as present at the beginning of the season as he is at the end of it as well. And he will be with you as he has been with me. You know, I used to think that the goodbyes that we chose were easier than the ones that were chosen for us. I'm just not so sure of that anymore. Either way, these moments, that was 3, by the way. Either way, these moments, they're pivotal and life-altering. They're like core memories. Have anyone ever seen the movie Inside Out? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. There's these core memories, and as Riley matures, as she grows up, she discovers that those core memories are not just joy anymore, but they're joy mixed with sadness, mixed with fear, mixed with disgust, mixed with anger. With maturity comes much more complexity. And I would argue that's exactly the way that God has created us to be. And it's in moments like goodbyes where we experience the complexity of all of the feels. All day today, people have asked me, how are you feeling? And I'm like, I don't know how to answer that. How is your heart? Tender, I guess? Every single emotion I feel today. But as I was trying to find words, like what would be one thing that I could express to you today, it just simply would be this, thank you. And if there's an emotion you could feel, it would be gratitude. Not that I want you to feel gratitude for me, God's gift of mankind, no. That's Jim Pope, by the way. But you would feel gratitude from our family. You've impacted generations of my family. For over a decade, I've been a pastor here, but my history goes well beyond that with you. 35 years ago, my parents gave their life to Jesus here. And for the first 5 years of my life, you shaped my parents' faith, and you helped lay a foundation for mine as well. I think I'm living, breathing testimony to the value of serving in children's ministry. Some of you took care of me in the nursery, saying Jesus loves you to me. You calmed me down when I stubbed my toe. In fact, you probably even changed my dirty diaper at one point. And most importantly, you taught me about the love of God. You nurtured my faith and my family. And if you're a part of B4, you are part of a rich legacy and heritage of faith that goes back generations and will continue onward for many more. When Fallon and I first came here, we were expecting our first, Scarlett. And our journey to parenthood, it started right here. And with the birth of each child, a new life was loved and cared for and nurtured and protected. The foundation of my children's faith, like my own, was laid here and built on by loving and skillful hands. You partnered so well in the formation of the faith of my children. Let me tell you a story. I did what, as the blank screen was in front of me and the cursor was taunting me that my time is ticking away. I did what I do most times when I don't know what to say, and I said, Scarlett, what should I talk about? As you know, if you know me, this is a regular occurrence. And Scarlett, in the most Scarlett way, responded, well, you should just tell them how amazing I am. No, but she said, just kidding. And I want you to hear, these were her words. They were not mine. They were her words. And she said, I want you to tell them about Simon Peter's story. How Jesus called Peter to follow him. And Peter said, go away, I'm a sinful man. But Jesus said, come follow me and I'll make you a fisher of people. And Peter, James, and John left everything behind to follow Jesus. And that's what we're doing right now. Trusting and following Jesus into a new adventure. Leaving behind everything we know. Oh, I can't see. That's like 5 or 6, by the way. He took the over. Leaving behind everything we know and love because Jesus has a new adventure for us. Listen, you may be losing one Lessler pastor, but in 10 or 15 years, you might be able to have another. And Fallon and I would love to take credit for all of that, but we just simply can't. It did not just come from us, it came from you too. Thank you. And while she may currently be the most vocal, my youngest daughter is giving her a run for her money. By the way, didn't you love that Merritt didn't want anything to do with us? She just went to Casey. like so many women. It's the last one. Come on, right? I had to. That joke came into my mind in the moment, and I just had to. I'm sorry, bro. I love you to death. Gosh. Anyways, each one of my daughters loves you dearly, and they walk closer with Jesus because of you. And they know by name each of you that has invested in their life. And they were so excited to be here today. Thank you. Over the years, I've had the privilege of serving alongside some really incredible people here. You got to see some of them on stage today, and some of them you haven't, but I wish I could stand up here and mention every single one of them by name, and we could talk about the stories. And in fact, one of the things that's been the hardest for me, even to speak without breaking down in tears, is in worship, I look around and I see your face, and I know your name, and I know your story. And I wish we had time, maybe you don't, but I wish I had time to be able to tell each and every one of you what you mean to us, but please just know, thank you. I wanna share, it'll have to be brief because I'm like 20 minutes into my introduction, but I wanna share a little bit with you, maybe even just devotional style from a passage of scripture that has just had so much meaning to me in this season of my life. I think it should be natural for us when we're trying to discern, God, what do you have for us, that we run to the scriptures, we run to our community and our mentors, and we are fervently invested in prayer. And it was this passage of scripture over and over again. I mean, literally, I think I read it 100, 150 times in the last few months. And every time something new just jumped out to me. And it's like, it's a whole chapter and there's a whole bunch of verses and there's a lot going on. So we don't have time to dive into each and every word, but I wanna just give you a couple things that the Lord has spoken to me and shared with me, and I hope to leave with you as a gift today. So if you have a Bible, for one last time, as one of your pastors, would you open it to Acts chapter 20? If you're new to the Bible, Acts is in the New Testament, 3/4 of the way through your Bible. We're looking at a story after the life of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, the birth of the early church, years into its inception, and this man whose life is radically altered and changed by Jesus is sent by Jesus to start churches and to teach people about the goodness of God and what it looks like to live in the kingdom of heaven. His name is Paul. He had a radical transformation of his own story. But here in chapter 20, what we're gonna look at, Paul is saying goodbye to a church that he dearly loves, one whom he has a deep connection with in his story. It's the church of Ephesus. There's a letter in the New Testament called Ephesians. Paul writes to Timothy, who's the pastor of the church in Ephesus, 1 and 2 Timothy. There's a lot of years of history here. Paul stayed in Ephesus for 2 years and 3 months, but the way the Jewish people at the time count, if there's any time in a year that they spend there, they just round up to 3 years. So Paul said he was there for 3 years, 2 years and 3 months. I'm gonna say I was here for 11 years because it's 10 years and 1 month. Sound good? 11 years. The Apostle Paul, this is a story of his final words to them. But one of the reasons why it stuck out to me so much is because it gives us sort of a picture of three different but equally important pictures. This is not just Paul thinking right things about God or Paul doing the right things that God has asked him to do. But this is also Paul feeling the heart of Christ as well. His affections and his love and his emotions have actually been transformed and changed by God. So when he sees people, he sees them the way Jesus sees them. And so what you're going to read in a few minutes is not just Paul doing the right things or thinking the right things about God, but actually his heart has been changed by him as well. And this is a deeply difficult and challenging and emotional time for him. And I would argue that in our discipleship to Jesus, we must grow, not just in orthodoxy, thinking the right things about God, or orthopraxis, doing the right things, but orthopathy, feeling like Christ felt. During my sabbatical, I studied the emotions of Jesus, and I was absolutely amazed at how often words like anger and sadness and joy and happiness and all of these things were attributed to Jesus. I think sometimes we have this picture that he like floated above the earth 2 inches off the ground in this serenity and didn't feel anything. And that is just not the picture we have of Jesus. The picture we have of Jesus is someone who was so present and so empathetic that he felt deeply and fully for the people he was around. And I would argue that that is how we should respond to the work of God in our heart as well. Let me tell you a few things about the church of Ephesus. Paul was there for 2 years, 3 months, 3 years, whatever. Miracles all over the place were happening in Ephesus when he was there. People were being healed if they were sick. Demons were being cast out. In fact, there were times when Paul's handkerchiefs and his aprons were being taken to people who were sick or demon-possessed and they were set free. I don't recommend that, by the way. Someone would think you were weird if you did that, so don't do that. But it happened here in the story. Paul, day after day after day, would lecture, teach in the halls of Tyrannus, which sounds like dinosaurs and Star Wars wrapped into one. He spent time with them. And get this, he lived with them in such a way that he was able to say these words, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you." Paul did life with this church. We read about it as history and we can breeze through it, but this is a deep connection that he has with these people. And they experienced some amazing miracles and moves of God. In fact, one of the most important and probably most crazy one that I think about is there were so many lives and hearts changed by the gospel that it actually disrupted the entire local economy. So much so that the powers that be, those who made idols and those who wanted things to continue the way they were, started a riot to try to get them out of town. Like Paul and these people, they have history. They went through the good moments and the bad, the highs and the lows. And why that's important is because it just adds so much more weight to the goodbye. Acts 20, verse 17, finally, 2 minutes left. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus." In a lot of ways, Paul is saying that I did what I came here to do, and I gave my whole heart to it, and you can testify to that on my behalf. You know that I did that. And you know that I did that because I was with you. I ran into you at the marketplace. I ran into you, with, you know, down the road. I saw you in the normal areas and spaces of life, and I saw you in the house of God, and I saw you in the places that we taught and we worshiped together. You know me, is what Paul is saying. And there was something about that also that kind of just like jumped off the page to me, and I realized that's the way it's supposed to be. But it makes it that much harder because You become family. And that's exactly it. The church is the family of God. It's a messy one. We make mistakes all the time. It's not necessarily an easy thing to always be a part of. It can be complicated and challenging and all of those things, but it doesn't change the fact that if you are in Christ, you are called a son or daughter of the living God, which makes you and me brothers and sisters. We inhabit this strange but beautiful, diverse family, which makes saying goodbye so much harder. Because you're not just saying goodbye to somebody. To me, I'm not just saying goodbye to you that I don't know. Maybe some of you I don't know, and some of you have been here in like the last 12 weeks, and you're like, who is this crying pastor on the stage? Sorry. Yeah. I just came to realize that it's supposed to hurt to say goodbye. And what we're gonna see here with Paul is that it didn't feel good. Verse 22, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Deep in Paul was also this belief that the church's movement. Right, think of Paul's life, arriving, planting, staying, moving, sometimes revisiting. The church's family and the church's movement. And Paul lives in these two tensions, which again, just makes the goodbye that much harder. Paul saw his life as a race, and it was more of a long distance one than it was a sprint, by the way. And his goal was to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus had given him. And he had clarity about what that was. And as I read that, I realized that I have completed the task that the Lord has had for me here. I've finished my race here. In 2022, we had a staff retreat. Pastor Bo was not our pastor now, but she was coming to pour into our staff and care for us. And I remember at the same time I was processing, the Foursquare denomination had come to me and asked me to consider lead pastoring a couple different churches. And it was something that was on our hearts and we had been praying about it. And so we took that before the Lord. And as Pastor Bo was speaking, these words came to my mind, not yet. Not yet. I have called you to stay, and it will cost you more to stay than it will to go. Those were the words. I have them dated in a journal in my backpack that I have referenced for the last year and a half because I needed to be reminded of those words. For Paul, God said of Paul that he was his chosen instrument to proclaim the name of to the Gentiles, their kings, and to the people of Israel. It'd be great if it stopped there, but it continues. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Sometimes in the family and in the movement, God calls us to carry a weight and a burden, and it hurts. God called us to stay. For 11 years, 10 and change. And then he has called us to go. I call them the silent times in my journal. And it was from June of 2023 to November of 2023. It was 6 months of quiet after 4 months of chaos. And here's what I will say. They were not quiet in the fact that they were not busy or difficult or hard, but in the sense of calling and assignment and what's next, they were silent. And it was hard. At times, the quiet felt like maddening. Up until that point, I had a clear assignment, stay. And all of a sudden, something in our hearts began to change, began to shift. And I wrestled with Jesus. Like, where do you go from here? Sometimes God calls us to go, and sometimes he calls us to stay. And it was 10 years of staying for us, and now it's a new season of going. In the staying and the going, there's a work that happens in you and through you. If you stay, God's gonna do a work in you and through you to bless other people. But there is also a work in the staying and in the going where he works in you and through you. Either way, he wants to work in your life and through your life for the good of other people. As I came out of the silent times, it was from an email of someone I hadn't really spoken to since 2016 or 2017. You saw them up here today, Chris Yarko, inviting me to consider what it would be like to go on a journey to explore lead pastor at Willamette Christian Church. And 4 months later, here I am. 4 months, I don't know, I can't do math. However many months later. But it was in the midst of all of that time, I had to preach a sermon on dwelling with uncertainty. LOL, right? Paul says a few final words, and I'm gonna get there. He has a couple things he wants to say to the Ephesian elders before he goes. He gives them a charge as he's about to leave. He says something that I could just summarize as this: take care of each other. Take care of each other. Those of you who are shepherds here, who care for this community, take care of this church. In fact, I wrote out a charge for you. And this is not just for those of you who work here, serve here, lead here. This is for all of you. And I want to read it to you. If God calls you to stay, stay. And don't just watch and critique. Roll up your sleeves and get to work. Amend the soil. Pour into the next generation. Pour your lives out for our kids and our students. See the young and the old. Be a church where single people can thrive and married people can thrive, and they can value one another's contributions as equal gifts from God. Pursue the Spirit. Be transformed and changed into the likeness of Jesus. Defend those who cannot stand for themselves. Pursue justice, extend mercy, and walk humbly before our God. Value diversity as a gift of God and the reality of heaven. Give space and honor for every race and culture. Listen to one another's stories and honor each other as more than you honor yourself. Remember, your words have the power of life or death. Choose life. Especially this year, set aside your political ideologies for a better vision of the kingdom of heaven, and love each other with hearts shaped by Jesus. And if God calls you to go, go. But do so as a response to faith, not consumerism or critique or preference. If God calls you to go, don't leave with bitterness and envy and unforgiveness. It isn't worth it. In fact, I would argue that it should look a little bit like this. Verse 36. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed, and they all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. If there's a going, and if the staying meant something, you're gonna experience grief, and that's okay. This text and many others give us permission for that. Now, I wanna leave you one last time with two things. I'd like to take communion with you if you got the communion elements on your way in the door. There's another going of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts where he leaves a church and the last thing they do is they break bread together. I promise you the meal was better than the one we're about to give you, but I do also believe that they hold the same deep symbolic meaning. What we hold in our hands, the bread and the cup, it's symbolic of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It's because of the work of Jesus that we have been saved and reconciled back to God, and we can be reconciled to one another. I want you to think of the picture of the upper room just before Jesus is betrayed, for Good Friday. Before all of that, Jesus is in a room with people he calls his friends, his brothers. There's something that happens around the life of Jesus that gives this community of faith, our community of faith, life. It brings us to a table together. And what is so cool is that the church has been doing this for 2,000 years. We have shared a table with millions and millions and millions of other followers of Jesus throughout time and space. And there's a lot of different things we could say about this moment, but one thing I want to say is that no matter where we go, we stay connected because of the work of Jesus. And so may we take the bread this morning and may we think about the family of God that we are a part of. You take the bread with me. If you take the cup, be careful when you open it. Symbolic of the blood of Jesus poured out for us for the forgiveness of our sins. I think about one of the qualities of a community of faith, and that is one that lives in grace with one another. This is grace. This is the grace of God poured out for us. No matter where we are, how far away we are, what draws us together as a family is the grace of God. May you take the cup with me. And the last thing I want to do is pray over you. As the Apostle Paul prayed with the church, please no kisses. We'll leave that part to the first century. I'm good. But I would love to pray over you. If words like family, movement, going, staying, joy, grieving, if those words resonate with you in your heart, because you are journeying through your own goodbyes, that you're walking through the end of a chapter and the beginning of the unknown, what's next, I would like to pray over you. And if you're not, if that's not something that resonates with you, I still would like to pray over you. So if you wouldn't mind standing, if you take the posture of open hands, if you feel comfortable, that simply just means you would like to receive. And I would like to pray over you and bless you as I go. Jesus, I thank you for this amazing community of faith, for the endless amount of stories of life change and transformation that you have given us the privilege to have a front row seat in. Thank you for the good times here and the hard times here, knowing that you're not done in our lives, but also knowing you're not done in this place. You have a beautiful story that you have written here, and you will continue to in the hearts and lives of these people. We thank you that you are faithful to continue that which you have begun. And God, may you meet your people in the midst of all of the tension of these goods and bads in their lives. And may you show them who you are and that you are present with them. And now let me pray a benediction prayer over you. May he bless you and may he keep you. May God's face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. And may you know his peace every day of your life. And may his name be written on your heart because you are a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
final count, 29. That's what we came up with. We are going to have a little reception for Alex out there. It features cold brew and donut holes, because if you know, you know. Thank you, Alex, for just bringing that to before and letting it be your legacy part of it. We're going to speak a benediction over Alex and Fallon, but and then we're going to let them get out of here and go over to where they're going to be in a little receiving line. So if you could just let them get out before you stop them and then go over and talk to them in line. And then there's a table, two tables that have cards that you can fill out that we'll put in a book for them. And there's also a table for their girls. So if you'd stop to fill out a little card for the Lesslers that you love and know, and the Lesslers that maybe you don't even know, and you can just see they've invested a lot here. So I want to speak a benediction over there. Fallon, come back up. Let's bring you back. Because she's the pretty one.
100%.
Actually. And let's extend our hands to them and speak this over them. The Lord watches over you. You can speak it with me. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over you, life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And everyone said, amen. Yeah, I'll let you guys run on out of here. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Next week, we're going to keep talking about the garden. We're going to talk a little about the garden of regret. And so if you know someone that you think would benefit from hearing a little more about what to do with the regrets in their life, this is a good message to bring them to. We love you so much, and we pray you have the best sunny Sunday in all of history. Woo!